I love having guests on the show that are on the forefront and that are teaching the next generation of law enforcement professionals. My next guest you're going to love. He's an academy director for a law enforcement training academy here in my home state of Colorado. Stay tuned on the next CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Patrick here. Thank you for tuning in to the CJ Evolution podcast. Special thanks to all those brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field or serving in the United States military. Thank you for what you do. You're putting it all on the line every day. Keep up the fantastic work. Folks, I am so excited that the CJ Evolution podcast is now partnered with Detecticam. Portable and drug and explosive detection is no longer a fairy tale. It is a reality. And this great company is making it happen, protecting our brave men and women who serve in the U.S. military and law enforcement. I recently had Greg Gentini on the show, episode 283 from Detecticam. You're going to love that episode. It'll be linked on the show notes. And if you want to get more information about this amazing company, how they can help your organization, go over to cjevolution.com. You're going to see a link for Detecticam. Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to have Mark Belisak on the show, and he works here in my backyard in Colorado. He works for the he's a criminal justice lead, law enforcement academy director for Red Rocks Community College in Lakewood. Mark, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am here at Red Rocks Community College, the Harvard of community colleges.
Well, thank you. I know you're probably very busy, and thank you for coming on the show, man. And I give a little bit of your background, in the intro. Can you tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself, Mark?
Okay. Years ago, I started out. I got my bachelor's degree in education. I started doing a little bit of law enforcement with the National Park Service, and then I came to Colorado. Worked for the Summit County Sheriff's Office, worked for Silverthorne PD, got my master's degree, went to the FBI National Academy, and then Denver PD made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So I switched over from Silverthorne to Denver. You might imagine that was a huge culture shift.
No.
So I did 11 years, approximately 11 years in Silverthorne, 11 years in Denver. Got a little bit injured in the line of duty, had to retire. And I thought, over the years, I had taught some things at different academies, Colorado Mountain College, Colorado Police Corps. I re-upped all of my educational certifications. And I said, when was the last time I really enjoyed work besides police work? And that was teaching at the academies. Red Rocks, the director job opened up 3 days after I made that decision. I applied, and here I am, and I've been here for a little under 2 years now.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your service, Mark, to law enforcement. And I know you went to the NA, and I never got a chance to go to the National Academy. I went to Northwestern, which was, I think it's kind of comparable to NA. And thank you for your service. And the one thing I know we were talking a little bit about before we started, I love the fact that you are on the forefront of teaching the next generation of law enforcement professionals. And I mean, what is that experience like? Because I love that. I mean, I used to be in the academies teaching and lecturing. And what is it like? I mean, what's the attitude now with the cadets that you're seeing in the academy? I know they're always psyched, but what's kind of the tone?
I think you're going to agree with me. The great joy now of my career is I see people come in and they are so new, and I watch them do some of the early on things, some of the shooting and driving and arrest control, or even, doing some of the scenario training that we do.
Yeah.
Not really great at in the beginning, but then I see towards the end of the academy and I see them getting it. And really that is a great joy for me. Now, the students, they understand the challenges that they're up against. And we talk about that day one. We talk about some of the issues in modern law enforcement in some areas, how maybe some of the public trust needs to be rebuilt. And we work on that. They exactly know the challenges. And to their credit, they are ready to go. They all understand it. They're into it. And I really like seeing what these new people getting into the field are really into. You would think that they would be a little discouraged. And we have had some hiring and recruiting issues in law enforcement these days. Mm-hmm. But when they get in here, they really are ready to go.
Now, what's the class size that you have right now, Mark?
Right now we have 20. 20 students in class. We can range from as low as 12 or as high as 30.
Now, what's the average? Because I know in every academy, I know some people drop out for various reasons. I mean, what do you know what your attrition rate is or what?
You know, every now and then I'll lose one or two students a semester. You know, as an example, and this is very appropriate to what we're talking about, one student last semester saw some video footage of body cam footage of an officer-involved shooting. And it was fairly graphic, and they understand that. But the student went home, talked to their significant other, realized maybe this is not for me. And so they withdrew themselves from the academy. Sometimes it's things like that. Sometimes they're not completely ready to go into police work. You know, there's a bit of an adjustment period the first month or so.
Yeah, and I would rather, and you'd probably agree, Mark, you'd rather see that at the front end than on the back end when they decide they're in an FTO program. And I've seen that too. And maybe you have, where somebody's in an FTO program and then they decide, well, maybe this is not for me. And it's like, well, why didn't you just do some soul searching? Why didn't you think about this more before you went through all this?
No, I very specifically, that exact situation came up just recently from one of my instructors. They were telling me someone went into FTO, realized the job wasn't for them and left. Now, we respect that. Please make that decision early on. But you're right. One of the things we try to tell people is please do some ride-alongs. Yeah. You know, get to know what the field you're getting into. You know, some people take me up on my advice and some people don't.
Yeah. And that's such good advice. I think everybody should be doing ride-alongs. And I remember the first day of my academy over, you know, two decades ago, I remember one of the instructors came in and said, half of you will not be cops. That's statistically, that's the way it is. And wow. Because I think, and I don't know what the final numbers shook out to, but I know everybody, you know, in the academy wants to be cops, but the reality is some of them won't, right? They'll get into other things. Yeah. There's so much things in criminal justice you can do.
Yeah, that's very true, and especially at the community college level, we try to address that. We're not an agency academy, but there are other things you can do with a post-certification. There's probation, there's parole, there's really a lot of things, gaming investigations. Yeah. So you don't have to go out and work slog it out on the streets like you and I did. And I remember my first 3 years in Denver, I didn't see the light of day.
So, no, you're on graveyards.
That's graveyards and weekends, yeah.
Now, what do you, go ahead, sir.
That's just a surprise to some people. I get it. I tell them that's what's going to happen, but it's a difficult lifestyle to adjust to sometimes.
And I remember it made me think, yeah, especially, I'm not trying to pick on the young people, but this quick story just reminded me what you were just saying, look, you know, when I was new, you're stuck on a shift and it's just by seniority. That's the way it is. But I never forget a couple of years ago, one of our new officers came to me and said, hey, sir, you know, can I talk to you about something? Absolutely. What do you want to talk about? He said, well, you know, this new schedule that I'm on my graveyards, and you know, it's really not working out for me. And can I switch with somebody else? And I'm like, well, okay, you want me to switch the entire department or a lot of patrol officers to accommodate your schedule? I said, this is the way it is, man. And I can accommodate as much as possible, but I'm sorry. You know, this is what you signed up for.
Yeah. It's hard. And I think sometimes the younger generation, that's a difficult transition. I get it. I understand.
Yeah. But it comes down to, like what we said, Mark, it comes down to research. It comes down to doing your homework. It comes down to getting out on a ride along. I remember, you know, sitting on just countless oral boards and recruitment boards. And I used to ask people, not that it was a game stopper if they said no, but I used to ask people, you know, have you done any ride alongs? No. Mm-hmm. Well, why?
Yeah.
Go do ride-alongs. Get a sense of what you're getting into.
Yeah, and it's easy to do. Good advice. Let's send that out there to everybody listening. Please do ride-alongs with your agencies or the agencies you're interested in.
Yeah. Let's talk about, we were talking a little bit off the air about, things that you... definitely on the front line, and me being retired. Well, you're retired too, but you're still, you know, got your finger on the pulse. We were talking about the importance of stress and trauma and how we need to train this, or this needs to be a big part, or more than it is, part of most academy curriculums. Let's talk about this because I'm a big advocate, as I know you are, you know, Mark, a progressive criminal justice professional. We need to be talking about this a lot more than what we are.
I mean, imagine, if you will, officers are dying. Mm-hmm. Recently, officers are you know, dying, you know, in the Denver Police Department and in Douglas County. And it's, you know, it's amazing to me then that over the years, this is not something new. Officers, you know, have been committing suicide. The statistic, by the way, is that in public safety professions, police, fire, and even emergency medicine, and even with dispatchers, that people in these areas, the suicide rate is twice that of the normal population. Mm-hmm. So if you think about that, and then you think, what kind of training is mandated at the basic academy level for when this happens? And I'll tell you this right up front, Patrick, the minimum state required hours under the wellness training program in basic academies, stress and trauma, is 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to me, I get it. We have other areas. Yes, we have to teach our new officers DUI. We have to teach them traffic code. I get it. But this, it really is an issue that we need to address. There are some agencies out there that are really starting to address this. It's coming to the forefront. So that's the good news on the horizon.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead. No, we're working on that. And one of the things that I'm doing, I'm on the state Peace Officer Standards and Training Curriculum Subject Matter Expert Committee. That's a long mouthful to say. But we've established a subcommittee to look at the Officer Stress and Trauma Training Program. We're actually having our initial meeting this Friday here at Red Rocks. And we're going to talk about these training programs and what we need to do.
Yeah.
Some academies are doing more than the basic. We do more than the basic. We're getting there.
Yeah. But I do, like you said, Mark, I mean, we are so good at taking care of other people, going and responding, and that's our job. I get that. But it's like I always think about, you know, okay, you get on a plane and you go through the, you know, you're getting ready to, you're taxiing out of the gate and you have some safety presentation. What do they always tell the passengers? You know, the mask, God forbid they drop, and you got to put on your oxygen, you put yours on first, right? Because if you're not taking care of yourself first, you can't take care of anybody else, right?
Exactly.
And it just blows my mind, you know, that we're not, and I'm like you, Mark, we got to learn how to shoot. We got to be proficient. I get it. We got to learn how to drive. But if we're not taking care of ourselves, if we're not teaching our young officers, you know, that they need to teach, you know, they need to learn how to cope with stress. They need to understand that there's mechanisms out there that you can, you know, people that you can talk to. You and I started 20 something years ago, you know, Mark, I remember, you know, you didn't talk about this stuff because you were viewed as weak. You know, yeah. You were viewed as, well, you can't hack it. You need to get out of this. I think it's changed. In fact, I know it has from my perspective and my experience, where people are openly asking for help. We need to stay on that path, but we need to be doing so much more, like you said, with teaching our young officers, or they're not going to stay in this profession, Mark. They're going to do 5 or 10 years and they're going to get out.
No, and that is a shame. You know, the cost to train an officer, get them on the street ready to go. Well, you know this because you did recruiting for your agency. It's about $10,000. Mm-hmm. So think about the investment that the agency has put into that. And now, you know, now we need to address, how do we maintain that investment in this person? And you're right. You talked about, you know, we were told not to talk about it. We'd be viewed as weak. You know, there is some of that culture that still exists in agencies.
Oh, I agree.
And we need to get around.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, that's something as, you know, as the leadership in an organization, if they catch wind of that, they need to squash it. Because those are things that will, you know, really, really bring an organization down. If officers don't, at least in this day and age, and that's my opinion, because if officers are being discouraged from talking about their feelings, bringing up to their superiors or their peers that they're stressed out and they have no one to turn to. I had a, I had an officer about a year ago come to me. He was having a hard time in FTO program. Well, he went through a sergeant, and I got with the sergeant and talked to him. And, you know, we worked out the root cause. Is he was having some issues at home, and he was bringing them to work, but he didn't tell anybody about it. And so when we started just getting in a one-on-one conversation, we started talking to him and offering him, you know, some solutions, everything changed. It was like, you know, but he was so scared to bring that to the forefront, to talk about that, you know, to his sergeant, least of all his commander, which I was at the time. And he was freaked out that I would be like, well, what are you talking about? And it was the exact opposite. I said, look, dude, we've already invested so much money. We care about you for one, but we've invested in so much in you. We want you to succeed, not to fail.
Yes.
You know, because my view as a leader, one of my philosophies was my job is to to mentor, train, and coach the next generation. People are going to take my job. That's my biggest job as a leader in my organization.
Yeah. Groom your successor.
Exactly.
But, you know, and the other challenge of that is, you know, where do those officers go, or is there a system in place that the officers know about? And that goes beyond kind of the basic academy training issues. Mm-hmm. That we're talking about. One of the other things that a lot of agencies are looking at now, and this may surprise you when I tell you this, but the Denver Police Department is at the forefront of this, and that is a peer mentoring or peer program that officers know they can turn to. So there are some steps being taken out there.
That's awesome. And I did know that about Denver, and kudos to DPD for taking a lead on that.
And Bob Wadler is the head of that. He's doing a great job. The chief of Denver is totally on board. So I really love hearing that kind of stuff coming out of there.
What else, Mark, what else do you, you spend a lot of time in law enforcement. What, and you obviously see the news and you read and educated. What do you think some of the challenges are for law enforcement as we head down the road? I mean, we could talk all day about this, but what do you, some of the challenges that you think come to mind?
I mean, are you talking general challenges?
Well, I'm sorry. That's a broad question. So I should have said, okay, what about, you know, I mean, as far as challenges with, you know, connections within the community, as we all know, it's no, you know, pick up, you know, newspaper or read an article. There are a lot of challenges out there. You alluded to it a while ago when we were talking about, you know, some officers are going to be in agencies, you know, in communities that are not that supportive of law enforcement. We had it really lucky where I was at in my agency, in my town, were overwhelmed. I mean, sure, there's always going to be people that hate the cops. I get that. But we enjoyed a lot of support. So those are the kind of challenges I'm talking about.
Yeah. We talk a lot about, in this academy in particular, you know, what is the culture of the agency you're looking at going to work for? Mm-hmm. Please research that, because an old chief of police of mine, John Patterson, used to say this all the time, you know, you're going to be with the agency you get hired by probably longer than you really know or than you really expected. So, you know, find the agency that has the right culture for you. But then some of the cultural challenges with agencies, you're right. Some of the trust with the public, there's a challenge there that I think we're starting to address. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as opposed to in the past, people are starting, I won't say starting, people have been questioning, well, what is the authority of this officer that I'm dealing with? And do I have to respect and or submit to that authority? And in the past, that was never the case. That when I was a kid, who would have ever thought to question the police?
Yeah.
But now it's almost the thing to do. And so once again, I believe as academy directors, we have a duty to start teaching these new cadets or these new students coming to these programs. You are going to have to work at, you know, not just community policing, because that's a very easy phrase to drop. We've all been trained in it, but also community engagement. You know, get out there with your community, because as we remember from Peel's 9 principles, principle number 7 is the community, or the people are the police are the community, except the police are the only ones that have the full-time duty in that area.
Yeah.
So we have to recognize that our authority comes from the public we serve. Mm-hmm. I think if we go down that road, we maintain that attitude as officers, we will reestablish some of that community trust.
Yeah, and I love it what you said, and you again alluded to it, is you need to be working with the community. And we always do that, and I know that's a cornerstone of community policing, but I'm talking about getting out of your car and walking around and talking to people, listening to people's problems. Not that that's going to cure everything, but that is a huge part of, community, being part of the community, being out there, talking to people. I see it used to frustrate me when I see the cops just driving around all day without engaging with the community in any way. Now, I understand you're going to have busy days where you can't do that. But most of the time, at least where I was at, you had an opportunity to get out of the car and talk to people, talk to business owners. That's what's going to win the officers over in the eyes of the community, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, let's even get rid of the car. Why don't we put officers on bicycles? I was a bicycle patrol officer in Denver for 4 years. It makes you ultimately approachable. Or what people really love is seeing the officers on horseback.
Well, Denver, do Denver still have horses?
Yeah, we still, they were part of the unit I was on. Yeah, we had horses. Everyone loves the horses. Of course, that was sometimes frustrating for me out riding a bicycle, pedaling around downtown, and then people would ask me, where are the officers on horseback? I'm like, well, I'm here. I'm on a bicycle.
No, we don't want to talk to you. We want to see the horses.
Not as cool as the mounted officers. I have to apologize to my sergeant, Troy Zimmerman, for making that statement. He was the sergeant on the mounted unit. So.
Now, Mark, what do you want to get back into what we were talking about officer wellness and stress and trauma? I am a huge proponent of mindfulness, meditation. I talked to an officer back east a couple months ago who he has implemented mindfulness, like 30 minutes, like meditation before they go out on the road. What do you think about that?
I love the idea. In my own personal life, I've just started doing that. In fact, mm-hmm. I have an app on my phone. I think it's called Insight Timer, mm-hmm. where even if I want to just pull myself away from my office for a few minutes and do some meditation. Let me ask you this, Patrick, because I don't know how you feel about that. Are you going to go into a roll call room full of cops and say, okay, we're going to meditate?
I would.
Okay.
I would. No, I probably, now I'm a little bit more, I'm at a point right now. I don't care. I mean, I'm older and stuff like that. But I think officers, that's a great question, Mark. And I think officers, just like everybody else out there, or a lot of people out there, they want to see stats. They want to see, research. They want to see something in front of them that is going to benefit them. And this is really going to help them. And I can pull up research and I can pull up stats that say science behind this, that it is going to help you. It helped me tremendously in my life to sit there and meditate. I start every day with at least 10 minutes of meditation. And I think if officers, again, this is just my opinion, if officers would see the benefit and you could put it in front of them and say, this is how you're going to benefit from this, I think they would be on board. Now, I think there's always going to be a couple officers that say, But there's
I know.
But there's a reason why the United States military. I'm talking about. I have Navy SEALs on my show. A lot of them, Mark, that come on, and these are big time SEALs. They've started businesses, wrote books, and these are hardcore. These are the tip of the spear, just like our brave men and women in uniform. And most of them, 90% of them, have some sort of mindfulness that they do every morning, meditation.
I read a book once, I think it was called Warrior Spirit, and it talked about, this has to be 20 years ago, someone who was, I believe, a Tai Chi and a meditation instructor went and trained the Navy SEALs in these techniques.
Yeah.
So, and maybe that's a great way to present it to even some of your, more doubting Thomases in the police force. Look, no one is as cool as the Navy SEALs, and they do it,
yes.
So why don't you try.
I'm telling you, man, that's good. I bet you anything. And there's a lot of agencies that are doing this. United States military, NFL sports teams, MLB, all these, not every one of them, but a lot of them are adopting mindfulness. And I think it's coming. It's going to be big in law enforcement down the road.
Personally, for me, to be able to shut my mind down for a few minutes, I need it. Otherwise, my mind is going to start going places I don't want to go.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show, sir. Is there any parting words of advice? Say I'm out there, say I'm listening to this show, and I got the Academy Director for Red Rocks Community College, is there any, and I'm thinking, you know, should I go to the academy? Should I get into the law enforcement profession? Any words of advice you can give that person out there?
All right. Listen up, everybody who's going into law enforcement. This is a great career. And, you know, Patrick, who runs this podcast, will tell you, we, for many years, had the ticket to the greatest show on earth. However, that takes a toll. So please, you know, remember to take care of yourselves, follow along these latest trends on self-care and wellness and mindfulness, and you will have a long, wonderful career.
Well said, and great advice, Mark. Again, thank you so much, sir, for coming on the show. Much success to you. I'm sure I'm going to be talking to you in the future, and good luck to you, sir.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.